The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome in to another edition of the Under Center podcast here on NBC Sports Chicago. I'm J.J. Stankovic, joined by John Moon Mullen, and making his Under Center podcast debut, it's Brian Perez. Brian, welcome to the podcast. This is your first one. How do you feel?
I'm excited, J.J. John, it's a pleasure to join you guys, and looking forward to a great training camp.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about today. We got we're here in mid-June, late June, I guess we're in now. We're less than a month from training camp. Let's start talking about what we're excited about to see down in Bourbonnais, to follow down in Bourbonnais. So I want to get each of you guys your biggest storylines from training camp. Moon, let's start with you. A1 for you, what are you looking for in Bourbonnais?
How accurate is Mitch Trubisky? And I think I laid out three things that, you know, they talk about surrounding him with weapons and all that sort of thing. Well, he's got to make – he has to be the rising tide that lifts all boats. He needs to be the quarterback. The great ones make everybody else better. So – how is he going to connect with Allen Robinson, which is my 1A, because how is his knee, having seen what Kevin White, you know, if you've had your, one of your prime wide receivers is hurt, that's going to set Trubisky back. But his accuracy was not enough. It was under 60% last year.
Like 59.5%.
So literally, I mean, it sounds trite, but I tracked him, you know, different quarterbacks over the years. Track him in camp, every rep in 7-on-7s. He should be completing 65% of his passes. Well, that's my number one.
And for Trubisky, that was a big thing for him coming out of college, was I think he completed 70% of his passes his last year at North Carolina. Granted, the receivers last year, not always easy to be accurate when Josh Bellamy's not running a good route or Tanner Gentry can't get off press coverage. You got to get the ball out at some point. But there still are some throws that Trubisky, I think, would admit he should have made last year. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely. And for Brian, down in training camp in Bourbonnais, I know every year we hear these storylines about how, oh, this guy did this in training camp. And, you know, Adam Shaheen had a big day in training camp. It's easy to put too much emphasis on one day. But bigger picture, you kind of following it, what do you want to follow? What do you want to hear coming out of training camp about Trubisky's accuracy beyond, I mean, the fact that he's more accurate?
I think the biggest thing with Trubisky in training camp and the storyline that we're following with the accuracy is just that day to day he continues to get better. Mm-hmm. That it's not something where he has a great first or second day and then there's three or four days in a row where it's sloppy play. And I think that kind of ties into the storyline that I'm excited most to see unfold throughout July and into August, and that's the entire offseason. The Bears have been the beneficiaries of great press, great offseason signings from Allen Robinson to Taylor Gabriel to Trey Burton, the draft pick of Anthony Miller. But what's going to actually happen when they all put the pads on and they actually have to start playing as a cohesive offensive unit? How long is it going to take them to gel? Are we going to see a refined finished product in week one of the preseason? Mm-hmm. Or are we going to be going into weeks two and three of the regular season with a team that's struggling to score points? Maybe there's some sloppy play leading to turnovers. Because it's great to have this roster and this depth chart, almost like you're putting together a fantasy football team. But when games actually start being played for real, and these new pieces all have to work together cohesively to accomplish their goal of scoring points, how long is it going to take them to do that?
And that goes a lot, which will be a huge part, as you say, Brian, about Trubisky's overall. Can Anthony Miller get off NFL press coverage? Mm-hmm. Because they're going to be running a West Coast kind of offense. And one of the things that is so important there is receivers need to get separation early. And they have to be precise. You know, the old saying, don't surprise, never surprise your quarterback. So he needs, in this offense, he will be expecting his receivers to be open at a certain point. So you're right. I don't know whether, is Allen Robinson's knee going to be good enough? Is he going to be able to beat Kyle Fuller? Is Miller going to be able to be, is he going to be precise enough? Because all of that will contribute or detract from Trubisky's accuracy. And those are all the positive plays, and that's what this offense has been lacking.
You know, Matt Nagy kind of said this at the end of veteran minicamp in June when he said, look, There are going to be some guys in training camp when the pads get on, they get better. And then there are going to be some guys in training camp when the pads get on, and they don't do as well as they did when they're just running around in helmets and shorts. That is when the real evaluation comes. OTAs were for, you know, getting the install of the offense down, learning the verbiage, you know, throwing a lot on Trubisky's plate and seeing what he can do. But, yeah, you know, in OTAs, Kevin White makes a number of good plays, has some good practices. He does what he needs to do. He's got to do it with the pads on. He's got to show that he can be physical with the pads on. I mean, I remember last year, Moon, watching him in a practice, I think it was at Hallis Hall, where he was getting bodied up by Sherrick McManus. And no offense to Sherrick McManus, a really good football player, but a first-round draft pick should not be losing a 50-50 ball to Sherrick McManus.
Yeah, and when practice gets physical is when, getting back to the buzz, I mean, Chicago wants to love its Bears. That is just, this isn't, I mean, we're Philly or New York or Boston or someplace where they want to beat up their teams half the time, literally and figuratively. But it won't be, there's no buzz. Now you have to do it with pads on and you're getting jammed. Can you do what the offense... It's easier to, they're playing flag football that we've been watching. They have a really good flag football team.
Yeah.
But, you know, when they're getting bodied up, you know, you mentioned the tight end. That's going to be a huge, I really want to see what it becomes, because I'll have a piece out on the West Coast offense. And Bill Walsh always said that was the piece that nobody really understood the importance of. And they need a lot out of those guys. What can they get off? Can they get open? Can Shaheen take a step? Is Trey Burton what they thought he was? I mean, there's so many. You know, you can kind of all go off in these storylines. To me, they all kind of come back and they run through number 10.
And it's especially important when you think about Kevin White, because Kevin White will always hold a special place with this regime. He was Ryan Pace's first round pick. In a way, you know, we're all still waiting for that first decision Ryan Pace made as a talent evaluator with the Bears to pan out, because it still represents a little bit of a question mark for not only the offense, but for Ryan Pace in general.
Yeah.
And that's why Bears fans are so obsessed with any news that comes out about Kevin White. They want to hold on to hope with him. They want to grab on to something that they believe is momentum going into the season, because when he was at West Virginia, I mean, he was special as a receiver in college. Whether or not we're seeing a less refined skill set for route running now, it's kind of getting exposed in the NFL. Maybe that's the case with him. We just haven't seen enough. He's just got to stay healthy.
Here's the reason why you should get excited about Kevin White, and this is my number one storyline that I was going to get into, why you should be excited about Kevin White. The Bears don't need Kevin White to be good. Not at all. That's why they signed Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel and Trey Burton and drafted Anthony Miller. They did it because, I mean, last year they went into the season with your top three receivers were Cam Meredith, Kevin White, and Marcus Wheaton. And obviously Cam Meredith's injury threw a wrench into that. But then you went into the year with Kevin White and Marcus Wheaton as your number one receivers. Then Marcus Wheaton got hurt too. And then it was just Kevin White. And then Kevin White got hurt. And all of a sudden, you know, you went from having to rely on Kevin White to not having Kevin White at all. But that's also kind of the problem, because having to rely on Kevin White is very dangerous given his injury history. Now, yeah, there are question marks about, you know, is Allen Robinson going to be healthy in training camp? Can Anthony Miller beat an NFL cornerback? Can Taylor Gabriel be the perfect fit to the offense that the Bears think he can be? Can Trey Burton succeed playing more than 33% of the snaps and is, you know, for the first time ever? But the Bears have insulated themselves from needing to rely on Kevin White, and that's almost why I think you should be excited about Kevin White, because if Kevin White turns in a 40-catch, 400-yard season or whatever, that's really good for where he would be on the depth chart. Now, if the Bears get to the point where Allen Robinson gets, you know, he can't get healthy, Taylor Gabriel's ineffective, Trey Burton's ineffective, and all of a sudden they have to rely on Kevin White, then you should be worried. But right now, going into training camp, there's no reason to not be excited about what Kevin White can do.
We should look the part, didn't you? You're watching a minicamp.
He absolutely
looked
the part.
And to the Trubisky part, too. You know, every quarterback wants to air it out. I mean, you know, go deep, but go to the Buick and I'll hit you. They're still playing the play. There's some playground football, and there was some of that going on. And the connection between Trubisky and White was fun to watch. Again, you don't win any games in June and May, but all of a sudden, Ten realized that, hey, I got a guy that can run by a cornerback, which we really haven't seen out of White since he's been here. But I do think it is a big referendum on Ryan Pace. I mean, that was his first. That's his first pick. I mean, all those number ones. That's the reason why the Bears were kind of meh for so long. and they need Leonard Floyd to be play more than 12 games in a season. They need Kevin White to play more than four. All those are kind of a referendum on the general manager, because that's why the Bears had nobody in the top 100
right.
yeah.
players by the team's players ranking.
And, you know, circling back to Kevin White, there is this secret ingredient to success with NFL players when they know they're in a prove it year. They're in that mm-hmm. last year to pretty much save their reputation.
That's as a Kyle Fuller.
Exactly. So last year this time, the Bears made some moves in free agency, picked up a couple veteran cornerbacks. Whether their play warranted or not by the end of the season is almost irrelevant, because we went into a season with Kyle Fuller. Hey, if he plays first round pick level Kyle Fuller, great. It's a bonus. If he doesn't, we have a couple other options here mm-hmm. to line up at cornerback. It almost feels like something similar has happened at wide receiver, albeit with more talented options ahead of Kevin White now. But still, that alpha in a pro athlete,
yep.
when their back is mm-hmm. up against the mm-hmm. wall, like Kevin White clearly is this season, you know, that's when the best comes out of them. So if we're ever going to see it out of him, assuming, big asterisk, he stays healthy, if we're ever going to see it out of him, it'll be this season.
Well, and yep. with Kyle Fuller last year, he was not only playing for a job, but he was probably playing for his pro career at that point. He never was a special teams guy.
You know, if he got whacked, somebody liked him coming out of college.
They would have given him a chance.
Bears have done that. You know, we like that guy. That's, you know, like some of the free agents they've signed over the years.
But he might not have made a 53-man yeah. roster.
But, you know, although a 6-foot-tall inch cornerback usually can find work. But you're right. His Bear career was, you know, he was on a banana
peel. Kevin White is in a similar situation yep. where, yeah, a team might have liked him coming out of college, but they also might look at it and say, okay, you've only played 5 games at this point. If he's not good this year, he gets hurt again. Well, we'll bring him in for a tryout, and then he'll get cut in the middle of August, and where is he going to catch on after that?
Yep. Okay, GMs, Kevin White catches 51 balls, 645 yards, 4 touchdowns. You're the GM next offseason. What do you do?
The Bears?
Yes.
I don't think they have the cap space to re-sign him at that point.
And see, this is an interesting point, because let's say Kevin White has 90 catches, 1,300 yards, and 12 touchdowns. The best-case scenario, Kevin White, will probably mean the Bears lose Kevin White.
Yeah.
Because of all the investment they made at wide receiver this offseason.
Or rhymes with bag, like tag.
Well, that's true.
Well,
that's
they
true.
Could.
That's
they
a
could.
Big
but,
investment
I mean, they also, yeah. given the money that they invested into that position, I think Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel's total guaranteed number is close to $40
million. $1 billion. Yeah.
A $1 million.
Plus, they traded a draft pick next year to move up for Anthony Miller.
Yeah. yeah. They invested, you're so absolutely they made, right. They invested a lot of money and capital into this. I think it's a really good point that probably no matter what, this is Kevin White's last year in Chicago. I mean, anything can happen. We know that. But. They don't have an out on Allen Robinson. They don't have an out on Taylor Gabriel. Are you really going to commit that much money to Kevin White?
And we thought the Cam Meredith situation went bad with Bears fans this year when Ryan Pace didn't do the necessary tag to keep him in town. Just wait. If Kevin White has 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns and he walks next offseason, because obviously Pace wasn't going to pick up the fifth-year option, that would have been foolish, but just when he's hitting his stride, the Bears lose him. Somehow, some way, Bears fans will find a reason to blame Ryan Pace for this. Right. Even though Ryan Pace did what he had to do this season to make sure the receivers were protected.
Especially if Meredith catches 47 balls.
That's still waiting to happen. Yeah.
With Drew Brees thrown to him down in New Orleans.
No,
Ryan doesn't have great luck with receivers.
Yeah, I know.
Marcus Wheaton. I think, just to kind of put a bow on it, I think the point you, Moon and Brian, you're making about Ryan Pace is a really valid one, because for all the hype that there's been about this, has Ryan Pace really proved he's a good enough talent evaluator to win enough games to make the playoffs?
See, here's my quick take on that. It's still a story that has yet to be told in its entirety, but what I find very encouraging about Pace is he does the difficult job well, and that is finding really good players on day 3 of the draft. He does that really well. What he has not yet proven to do well is free agency. He's made some pretty bad decisions in free agency, whether it's just bad evaluation or bad luck with injuries. He seems to gamble on players who have a pretty significant injury.
You can name the good ones because there's so few
exactly.
of them.
Akeem Hicks and Danny Trevathan.
Right.
For instance, Mukhmara.
And his first rounders were still too early in their careers to really put a grade on them. So I think it's incomplete. But what's very encouraging is you take a guy like Jordan Howard, you take a guy like Adrian Amos or Eddie Jackson, these late mid to late round picks, that's where you build that roster depth that ultimately becomes a playoff team. He's doing that well.
That was, you know, that's a great point, Brian, because that was what, over the years, while Favre and then Rodgers, you were kind of ignoring, or not ignoring, but the Josh Sittons and the TJ Langs, the fourth, fifth rounders, Bakhtiari, I thought he was a higher pick, but they were scoring, especially on the offensive line, all those guys, they were all mid-round picks. But that kind of gave you the bedrock, an affordable bedrock.
Exactly.
And which, if the Bears can do that, I'm trying to think who they've got coming up contract-wise. You know, again, we're getting ahead of ourselves with, can they afford to keep Kevin White with a franchise tag? You know, Kevin, let's earn it first.
I think it's probably a little bit in the future. We're going to take a quick break here on the Under Center podcast and be right back with you here on NBCSportsChicago.com.
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
All right, we're back here on the Under Center podcast. I'm JJ Stankovic, joined by John Moon Mullen and Brian Perez. We're talking camp storylines. We're talking whatever pops into our head about the Bears because it's, let me just check my calendar, it's June 25th. Not a whole lot else going on right now with the Bears. We kind of ended segment one talking about, you know, Ryan Pace as a talent evaluator, Kevin White looking way into the future. Let's look a little bit closer here at this Bears team as we start thinking about training camp. Vic Fangio's defense, it felt like Vic was just out there during OTAs in his sweater and sweatpants and hat, just walking around and, you know, hey, you guys know this. Like, obviously Vic was doing more than that. But it just kind of felt like for the defense that they're just waiting for training camp. Like, oh, God, let's just get the pads on because we know this defense. We don't have to learn it. The only guys learning it were, what, like Aaron Lynch and Roquan Smith and, you know, some of the rookies. The defense is still... I still have a lot of questions about this defense. They don't turn the ball over much. They lost a lot of their sack production from last year. The outside linebackers are a question mark. What's sort of the temperature on the defense that you guys have right now as we start looking ahead to training camp?
Well, I think it's encouraging for Bears fans coming into a season finally with a feeling of continuity from one side of the ball that has proven they can perform pretty well. You know, having that type of top 10, at least statistically, that defense coming back with really only adding talent with Roquan Smith and whatnot, there should be an expectation that the defense actually performs better than they did last year. But especially in the NFC North this year, this defense will be evaluated solely by how many times they can get to the quarterback. You have Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers, and Matthew Stafford, and no real established pass rusher on the roster. Leonard Floyd is all about projection right now. Mm-hmm. If he plays 8 games, 10 games, 12 games, that doesn't help this team produce. Who's the other guy? Is it Aaron Lynch? Yeah. Is it a sixth-round rookie? We just talked about Ryan Pace hitting on these mid to late rounders. Is Kylie Fitz the next guy that does that? It's a lot of what-ifs at the most important spot.
And that's always found money. If you get a sixth-rounder, Richard Dent was in the Hall of Fame coming out of the eighth round, whatever. That doesn't happen very much.
Right.
I think that is the key. I'm not so optimistic about the defense because, to me, if you're not in so many things in life, to sound like Ditka, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And I think Roquan Smith should be a huge upgrade, although Nick Kwiatkowski wasn't terrible. Mm-hmm. Brian, I'm with you. You did not add anything to your pass rush, and you are now you got three good quarterbacks. Yep. In the division, that's their 6 games, and if you don't get to those guys, they're going to pick you apart, and we've seen it. And so Aaron Lynch, great. Well, he's been hurt twice, and we haven't got training camp. Even if Leonard Floyd is a 16 games guy, and he makes 10 or even double digit sacks. Although I just remember Alonzo Spellman, what's your goal for this year? High double digit sacks. I think what, like 96?
So, well,
but no, that to me is, you know, Buddy Ryan was, that's what he built his whole philosophy around. If they keep, if he figured out that, you know, that Weeb Eubanks keeping six guys in to protect Joe Nay, I'll send seven. If he keeps eight, I'll send nine. They don't have nine to send. They don't have, and Richard Dentzel's great philosophy was his rule of three. He said all great defenses, look at them, have had three great pass rushers. And for them, it was Dent, Hampton, McMichael. You know, for you know, the Purple People Eaters, Page, and going back a while, but, you know, the Fearsome Foursome, three of those guys. If you can't get to the, if it's only one, good luck.
And if it's only one, you better have an elite secondary. I think the Bears' secondary is good, but Kyle Fuller and Prince Mukamara only combined for two interceptions. Both of those are Fuller, and both of them happened in December.
We have the same. It's the same starting four.
Yeah.
That only intercepted. Well, the same. I don't think
the Bears. Here's the stat.
Eight interceptions.
The Bears
for three
are the
years
only
running
team in NFL history to have eight or fewer interceptions in three consecutive years.
Yeah. So the fact it's sort of like a college basketball coach had a terrible season, and the media says, "Well, you're gambit. You got all your starters back." Is we were 5-23.
Right.
Why is that a good thing?
It's also worth noting too that so the secondary performed well last year. It wasn't too long ago that Kyle Fuller, he didn't even have his fifth year option picked up.
Yep.
Prince Amukamara was discarded by the Giants and the Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they overplayed their skill set at this point. You don't know.
It's going to be really interesting.
And without the pass rush, not to interrupt, but without that pass rush, a secondary, it wasn't real good at coverage. I mean, we're not talking about Dion and Ronnie Lott back there. They're not guys who can operate without some pressure up front. I mean, it's one thing about the defense. It's very holistic, you know, but you need somebody who can get to the passer, which gives your secondary. They got the same guys back, the same two cornerbacks that cost them $10 million last year. Now they're $21 million. They got the same guys, but they're paying twice as much for them. That's not a sustainable situation unless you can get to give them some help up front.
And I think that the Bears think that there is a higher ceiling for Kyle Fuller than he had last year, which if there is, that's awfully good. But they have two, what I think they have is two good cover corners. Mukamara is a good cover corner. He's not going to pick the ball off. He'll get his hand in on, you know, them occasionally, but he's not going to pick the ball off. Kyle Fuller, I think he had an opportunity to make some plays last year. I know my question to Vic Fangio about if Kyle Fuller could get his hands on some more footballs, I didn't use the word foot in that, kind of became a bit of a running joke. They need guys who are going to get to the ball and make an impact on the ball if they're not going to affect the quarterback. I think this is where Eddie Jackson can come into play. A guy who showed at Alabama really good ball skills.
I think he's the best of the four.
I absolutely agree.
Ball skills.
And I think he needs to get to more of them. He needs to be in the right place. And he made a couple plays last year. He needs to grow on that. Adrian Amos only has, what, one or two interceptions?
One
interception.
If you look at that, he's 6 yards away from the ball. It was Kyle Fuller, and I blank on who the receiver
Fuller
was.
Fuller who tipped the ball.
The ball was tipped, and he caught it 5 years.
Yeah.
He wasn't even that close to the play.
And he's another example of a guy coming off a really good year who the offseason prior, you know, Ryan Pace brought in some competition.
He wasn't starting to start the season.
He wasn't starting.
He didn't start the third game.
There's a lot being mortgaged on a secondary that 12 months ago wasn't necessarily viewed the way it's being viewed right now.
And it has lost, out of its 42 sacks, 14 and a half of them are gone.
Yep.
And so this is, not positive.
Under the radar, I mean, not to get into the minutia here, but Mitch Unrein and Christian Jones were two pretty solid players on that defense that now have to be replaced.
You know, if we circle back to Ryan Pace as a talent evaluator, and this just kind of popped into my head where it seems like he puts a lot of confidence in his first-round picks that maybe haven't earned it yet. Let's look back last year. The Bears were banking on Kevin White to have that breakout season to be the leader of that receiving core. It ended up flopping. And the biggest issue on the offense was that receiving core.
Mm-hmm.
This year, he's putting that same onus on Leonard Floyd to be that Von Miller of the defense, to be that 13, 14 sack guy to lead the pass rush. If he ends up having another injury-riddled season or maybe doesn't take that step, we're going to look at the Bears' pass rush in the exact same way we looked at the receivers last year. And it's wide receiver was his first pick, and he went all in on Kevin White last year. Pass rusher was his second pick. He's doing the same this year.
Yeah, and that's really an interesting about that, Brian. A big picture, not only the expectations are high, I think it becomes really almost, I would say comical isn't the word for it, but like you're counting on somebody to be better than they've ever been before.
Like, literally ever.
Right.
Ever. Even
yeah.
at Georgia.
Ever.
Like,
yeah. yeah. Ever.
No, we don't need him to play up to his Pro Bowl level when he was good 3 years ago. Allen Robinson, you could say, okay, he was good.
Right. Yep.
Okay, we need
yep.
him to be back yep. to that level. Guys, you're talking about Leonard yes. Floyd never has been that guy.
And it's him really going all in on those first-round picks.
I think that's a really good point. That's a really good way to look at it. And that's what he's done yeah. with Mitch Trubisky, too. I mean, yeah. and I think the feeling on Trubisky is probably more positive than Kevin White or Leonard Floyd. But, yeah, I mean, the Bears, at the end of the day, this team's, if they're going to be good or not, is going to rest mostly on the shoulders of number 10.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to make everybody else better. Again, we've all talked about surrounding him with weapons, and son, you need to be the weapon.
Exactly.
You know, it's funny, just think, not funny again, but it's a colossal, Brian, talking about Ryan Pace's personnel moves, not to switch back to offense, but he could have had Jay Cutler for 12-5 and a 2-5 roster bonus, 15 mil, but it went to Mike Glennon for 18. Mm-hmm. If they had stayed with Jay Cutler, nobody would have liked it. This team would have been a better situation. Again, I'm not rejiggering history here, but
Moon wants Jay Cutler to be the quarterback of the Bears.
But
this year.
To your point, that's one of those personnel questions. Like, whoa!
Yeah.
But in a sense, he was banking on Mike Glennon to be better than he ever was yeah. in
exactly.
his life.
Exactly.
This is dangerous.
And if it works out, he's a genius. But we may look back on it, and if these things don't work out, we may look back and say he maybe should have made some more sensible moves that didn't require this huge projection.
Mm-hmm.
But, look, the situation Ryan Pace took over was not exactly, the cupboard was not exactly well-stocked after the Phil Emery era. So maybe part of his gamble is, mm-hmm. hey, you know what, to get this team back, we got to take some gambles. I think it's going to be really interesting when we reconvene for episode number 459 of the Under Center podcast in 2021 to see how this is all gone.
And let's not forget, probably the biggest offseason decision he made was his new head coach.
Yep.
So, and that's another layer of taking a little bit of a gamble. And the guy who's never held the job before.
Never been that before.
Never been that before.
Another projection.
Another Leonard Floyd is going to be a 13-sack guy when he's never been that before. He's also doing that in his decisions with the coaches.
Yeah, well, let's pick on poor Matt Nagy. And the last time he really was a play caller, he blew it in the playoffs. So I hope we've killed everybody's optimism at this
point. Yeah, right. Well, it's late June, and now, cancel okay. your trips to Bourbonnais. I do think, though, that this is why training camp is going to be so fascinating, because there is so much projecting to happen. And this is why, going back to the Trubisky point, every little thing that he does is going to be followed. I think we as people who write about the team need to kind of view it as a bigger picture thing. But you as fans, I mean, yeah. Look at it from the play to play, live and die with throws in training camp, and actually enjoy that you are. Because in years past, where's the optimism been? Where's the thought of, well, if Mitch has a great day in practice, oh, we're winning the Super Bowl. If Mike Glennon has a great day in practice, you're like,
exactly.
Mike Glennon.
Yeah, just thinking, Brian, thinking about the Eagles, we have some East Coast connections. And who was I talking to recently, a former NFL coach, who said, Doug Peterson was kind of on thin ice before last year. I mean, a fair statement, or is that a little extreme?
Well, look, some of my closest friends are Eagles fans, and I think, if Carson Wentz has an interception on the opening drive this season, you're going to hear calls for Nick Foles. So, Eagle fans,
you're right, that's
listen,
right.
I don't want to anger any Eagles fans who may, for some reason, be listening to this. But, yeah, I'm going to reserve my opinion on Eagles fans.
If you're an Eagles fan and you're listening to this, tweet him at Brian Perez NFL.
Or meet him down at the kangaroo court under the north end zone where they're trying JP cases.
All right, we got to get out of here on the Under Center podcast. Brian, thanks for joining us. We're going to be back with a couple of camp preview pods when we get into July. But for John Moonmaw and for Brian Perez, I'm JJ Stankovic. Thanks for listening to us here on the Under Center podcast on NBCSportsChicago.com.